Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Thank you, Troy, for letting me know. That is embarrassing. But anyway, I'm so glad that you're with us tonight. This is an exciting program that we're going to have today. For those of you that don't know me or know about what we're doing, I just want to briefly go over our website and contact information. I am the founder and president of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. That's www.bridemovement.com. At that website, you'll find links to everything else that we're doing as far as updates, if I have speaking engagements coming up or whatever. You also find links to the blog that I have, this radio program that you're listening to right now, the archives and so forth, audio teachings, links to other ministries that we promote. And so I just want to make sure that you're available or you're aware that that resource is available. Now, I also want you to know that I am the author of Noah's Ark and the End of Days and also the book Wounded by Leadership. Now, those books are available anywhere books are sold, and you can also get them from my website. Noah's Ark and the End of Days really deals a lot with the last days, eschatology, and God's plan and purpose for his church to bring unity, really, to his body. That's a big, big thing that I'm trying to communicate with that book. And Wounded by Leadership really deals with how we overcome the wounds that we take from submitting to injurious leadership, particularly in the church, in spiritual, under spiritual leadership and so forth, when things go wrong. How do we overcome those things? Get the bitterness out and get all the objections out of us that prevent us from really walking into all that God really has for us in spite of what we've been through. So those books are available. Without going any more into me, I want to make sure that those of you that are listening are aware. I do take live calls during this program, and if you're listening live and you hear something that really inspires you, you want to, you know, make a comment or you have a question for one of our wonderful guests, call. Just give us a call, 718-766-4160. That's 718-766-4160. Now, tonight, we are being joined by my good friend, mentor, source of inspiration, Dr. Preston Bailey. Now, he's been with us two other times so far since program launch, and every time he comes, he is just so full of information, of insight, of knowledge that most people just don't have. And so his website, if you ever want to check out his book or maybe get in touch with him personally, you can go to www.spiritualwarfarecenter.com. Now, I believe Preston has already called in, so Doctor, are you with us?
Yes, I sure am.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad to have you back.
It's good to be here.
Wonderful. Well, you know, the topics that we're going to be talking about tonight, I mean, the first one, Agenda 21, is something that is really developing for a lot of people. I think a lot of people, they may have heard it, they may have like seen a reference to it, but are still in this place where they really don't have a grasp of what it is and what it means. And I know that you have been talking about this quite a bit more recently and have quite a lot of information to share. So for those of you that are listening, we are going to be touching and allowing Dr. Preston to educate us tonight on Agenda 21, but not just that. Afterwards, we're going to be moving into something that is absolutely cutting edge. We're talking probably about as fringe as you can get, but really not, because it's so relevant in so many ways most of us are just unaware of. So in the second half of the program, once we get done talking about Agenda 21, I'm really excited to have Preston talk about some high technology forms of mind control, getting into things like cybernetic or something called psychotronic warfare. I mean, these are terms that we'll get into later, but I'm really excited. So, Preston, why don't you just get us started in telling us how you personally initially learned about Agenda 21?
I'd never heard of Agenda 21, and a friend of mine invited me to attend a Save America Foundation meeting in Clearwater, Florida. So he took me, and they started talking about Agenda 21. Well, I don't usually take things at face value. I want to study for myself. When I started to study on Agenda 21 and all of the information that was available, it was unbelievable that Christians do not talk about this more than they do. I don't think most churches even mention Agenda 21 in their churches at all. When I found about Agenda 21, I was really shocked that I thought that this is a key plan that the New World Order with the Antichrist can easily take over every country and the world, including America, from a more administrative organization and legal fashion. And so I was just horrified that Agenda 21 exists.
Wow. So you heard about it, you did some research, and I've been doing some research more recently, and still trying to put all the pieces together. What is, I mean, for for us that are listening and wondering, just plain and simple, what is Agenda 21?
Yes, let me just explain very simple what Agenda 21 is. Agenda, the word agenda means a plan, and 21 refers to the 21st century. So Agenda 21 is a plan of the United Nations that was in 1992 at the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development that was held in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. It is a plan to control the environmental, social, and economic aspects of every country in the world.
Wow.
So it is a very simple. It is a plan to eliminate private property rights, enforce United Nations mandated low energy ecological approved housing, and replace your existing home, confiscate all private farms and farmlands, and get rid of private land holdings. And it is actually very simply a communist philosophical type plan to control people and property all over the world.
Yeah, I was just about to say before you said that, I mean, this really, it sounds a lot like communism. It's, so the idea is to control land, so to speak, by kind of almost, I guess, administrating it out of the hands of landowners or legislating it out of the hands of landowners. Is that kind of the idea?
Yes. Their focus is what is called sustainable development.
Huh.
Sustainable development is the key buzzword for Agenda 21. So if you hear in your city, in your county, or in your state, any plan of the government to do anything that is called sustainable development, it is connected to the United Nations Agenda 21 plan. Sustainable development was designed by Maurice Strong, who was the founder of the United Nations Environmental Program, and he is the front man for the Illuminati. It is a
wow.
It's a means to control the planet, very simply.
Wow.
So sustainable development is a, it's just a buzzword to control the planet through the feel good message of environmental safety and saving the planet. For example, this is the reason why Nancy Pelosi had laws passed in California to protect a very small fish in the rivers of California over man. So this little small fish, a law was passed in California protecting it. So over 100 farmers went broke because the government would not allow them to use water from this river for their crops and their farmland. So as a result, in order to protect this small fish that most people don't even eat, all these farmers went bankrupt.
And
it was of the protection of the environment over mankind. So that is really a simple practical application of Agenda 21 in America.
Wow. Now, I've tried to do a little bit of reading before the program just so I kind of had a grasp of this because, you know what, honestly, Preston, I am with those, I think for the most part, that are still in that learning process about what Agenda 21 is and what it's really going to mean. Now, as I was going through reading different articles and so forth online, I came across a lot of, several people that said quite a few countries have already gotten on board with this Agenda 21, even though, you know, it's sort of like optional, like an opt-in. That's how they're presenting it.
Yes.
Now, what incentives do countries have to get on board with this agenda? I guess that's my question. I don't know if you know the answer to that, but, you know.
Yes, the focus of Agenda 21 is the environment, saving the environment. So the United Nations goes to the leaders of a country and they say that you need to save the environment, and you know, and we will help you and assist you with the resources of the United States. So actually, many countries of the world have already signed in to Agenda 21.
Oh wow! Wow. So it's kind of almost like one of those cartoons I think about when you know you see the cartoon character, they put a bomb inside of a gift and wrap it up real nice and pretty. They open a gift and it's a bomb. It blows up in their face. Would you say this could kind of be like one of those things where they kind of dress it up real nice in language?
Yes, they make it sound really feel good, and it will benefit your city or your country. Over 1,200 cities and 70 countries have already signed up to Agenda 21 implementation.
Wow. Wow.
So this is no little deal. I would say the average American is not aware of this. But this is, again, very simply, it is a legal administrative organizational way to bring in a new world order so that under one single umbrella, if you had one strong leader from the United Nations, he could actually control the world through the Agenda 21 plan. It is really very frightening. Let me give you a simple example.
Mm-hmm.
My son has a master's degree in finance in international business. He works for an aerospace company. I just was going through all of his textbooks, and I found one of his textbooks that was a part of his master's program. And it was an Agenda 21 textbook. It doesn't say Agenda 21. It says Sustainable Development. And this was taught at the University of South Florida. In the textbook, it says, Agenda 21 demands population policy should also recognize the role played by human beings in environmental and developmental concerns. So basically, it even focuses on population control in that country.
Oh,
they're planning
wow.
to control the world by getting rid of private property ownership, confiscating all farms and farmland, controlling people through zoning laws, taxes, and fines. So the key here is zoning laws.
Mm.
And they also want to ban all private ownership of cars.
I did read that.
People don't realize the danger of the implementation of this. In a very simple, they have everything in detail already. It is just a matter of a legal technicality of countries agreeing to it. Now, the good thing is the Republican-dominated Congress refused to approve Agenda 21, even though Obama is 100% behind Agenda 21. In fact, he has he's actually signed an executive order ordering cities to form a sustainable development council to plan for the cities in America. In other words, Congress has said they opposed Agenda 21 for many of the reasons I've already mentioned and others, because we will lose our sovereignty as the United States of America. But Obama has also signed an executive order ordering a rural sustainable development council to be formed in all rural areas. So Obama has already signed two executive orders ordering cities and rural areas to form sustainable development councils. Remember, that's the buzzword for Agenda 21.
Hmm.
And that is the planning. So you have the cities and the rural areas. That's all our country is.
Yeah.
So he has ordered these councils formed to begin planning Agenda 21 in their cities or counties. And even though Congress has opposed it, so Obama is actually going around the wish of the Congress and the Senate.
Wow.
So what do you think of that?
Well, I think that it's really concerning. It's disconcerting. And, you know, as you're talking and I'm, you know, kind of processing all the information you're sharing and so forth, you know, I just can't help but think, you know, isn't it these same people that are doing so much to destroy the environment that then come back and use it as an excuse to take away, I mean, private ownership? I mean, it really is, well, in our chat room over here, one of our people just put out the word diabolical.
It is diabolical, yes. In fact, on June the 9th, 2011, Obama signed Executive Order 13575. So everything I've said, I have detailed documentation because it sounds so wild that
sure.
that a president or a government or any government group in America would do such a diabolical thing. It says that it is the establishing a new executive administrative body, the White House Rural Council, tasked to federally coordinate and implement environmental development locally in sustainable rural communities. Now, this is ruling by executive order against Congress. It is an order. It is not a suggestion to form a rural sustainable development council, and of course in the cities. But this is unbelievable that the people behind the president wants to control where we live, what we eat, what resources and energy sources we may use, and where, when, and how we can move. Now, I've just hit the tip of the iceberg. This is nothing but an ecological, environmental Marxist program to control America and the world.
Wow. Well, go ahead.
This is unbelievable. They even have, right now, a detailed map of the whole United States. And it has on this map when Agenda 21 totally controls America, it has on that map, it's a colored map with red and yellow on there. The red is where humans are not allowed to go by law, according to the laws of Agenda 21. And if you look at the map, you'll say, well, a majority of the United States has red, which means it's forbidden for humans to go there. And the yellow are the only places that humans are allowed to go. But probably if you take the United States and divide it in half vertically, the left half of the United States, predominantly humans, will no longer be allowed to go there. That
means
you cannot go there for a hike, a nature hike. You cannot go there for camping, for riding your motorcycle or your four-wheeler, for climbing mountains, things like that. That is no longer allowed. That would be no longer allowed. It is insanity beyond someone's nightmare.
And wow.
Whenever I first talk about Agenda 21 to people, they say, this can't be true because it is so far-fetched. But, you see, it is people from the New World Order that invented the term global warming.
Sure.
And people for the New World Order, which some call, there's many different groups. One of the leading groups is called the Illuminati. But they actually, with people in the Illuminati, in the United Nations, they actually came up with the term global warming. So a lot of the Agenda 21 is motivated by the made-up term global warming. And notice how easy it has been all over the world, in America, in public schools, on the evening news, on the Weather Channel, to talk about global warming. Now, what's interesting is the scientist who originally came up with the Weather Channel says global warming is a farce. There is no such thing as global warming. Notice, this is supposed to be one of the worst winters we've had, but they twist that and say, well, that's a result of global warming. There are many, many scientists who come out now and say that there's really no such thing as global warming. There's just cycles in nature that affect the environment. So anything that happens to whales or whatever, they twist it and make it global warming. Global warming is not a scientific term. It is a philosophical term that they made up.
Sure. And, you know, even in my own research looking into global warming when I checked into it like a couple of years ago, I ran into the same thing you're talking about, is that there's a lot of real scientists that are saying, well, no, yes, it is a cycle idea. It's not so much this one direction, unidirectional dilemma that needs to be stopped at the cost of human life and inalienable rights, if I might just put it that way. But I think what I want to do is go ahead and go to a break, and we'll come back, continue this incredibly informative discussion. Everyone, you've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Yeah. Broadcasting Network, where we love Jesus.
Alrighty, everyone. Well, we are back with Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Thank you for all of you that are listening right now. I do want you to know that our guest, his name is Dr. Preston Bailey. Now, his website is www.spiritualwarfarecenter.com if you want to take a look at his book or any of the postings that he has there. Get in touch with him personally. SpiritualWarfareCenter.com. Now, Dr. Preston, man, you've been just blowing us all away with this info on Agenda 21. Kind of depressing, not going to lie. But I think it's important that we all know this because, you know, the most dangerous enemy, I think, is the one that you don't know.
Yes, that's exactly right. And this is the case, really, of Agenda 21. You know, it's like a religion of the environment. What's interesting is Dr. James Lovelock, who some consider the father of global warming, recently said this. Now, Dr. Lovelock is a world-renowned scientist and environmentalist whose theories about the Earth have affected the development of global warming theory. Most environmentalists have a degree in political science, not science. But he is a working scientist. His inventions have been used by NASA and many other scientific organizations. He said that people have overblown the concepts of global warming, and he said the alarmist theories that he had given earlier were incorrect. He said we do need to be concerned about our environment. He said, but many people have turned global warming into a religion. And a lot of people in global warming say they're against nuclear power, but Dr. James Lovelock is a longtime supporter of nuclear power as a way to lower greenhouse gas emissions. So there is so much misinformation about the environment. It is very easy for people to be led astray on all of these things.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. Well, that's been really thorough. I don't know if there was anything else that you wanted to tell us about Agenda 21 specifically. But if there's not, I actually wanted to begin to transition to the next part of this this talk, which I'm really excited about because this, I think, is going to blow a lot of people away. But first, was there anything else you wanted to share about Agenda 21?
Let me just conclude by saying this.
Yes.
Agenda 21, very simply, seeks to take 50% of American land and make it uninhabitable, untouchable by industry, and inaccessible by humans. American citizens will be moved into places called Sustainable Human Development Zones. Obama is using federal agencies to promote and implement the plans of Agenda 21, such as the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is using the Clean Water Act to control private land alongside ditches, gullies, and other wet areas. I live in Florida, and they're especially making life miserable for landowners that have wet areas on their property. And of course, as I said earlier, they make unreasonable taxes and control of property. They make it difficult for private property owners to build in their own backyards, grow crops on their yards, raise livestock, and conduct other activities on their land. And it is it's beyond ludicrous. So when anything in a person's community says, any law that's trying to be passed brings up about sustainable development, they need to oppose it. In fact, the state of Alabama has already passed a law banning Agenda 21 from being carried out in their state. Rhode Island and other states are already starting to pass laws. So this is not an imaginary issue. This is a real issue, and it can get very serious.
Wow. Well, you heard it, folks. If you hear sustainable development, put the alarms on. Dr. Preston, the next part of this interview that I wanted to talk about is really rooted in, some of the personal testimony that, you know, we've talked about as you've relayed some stories to me and talking, you know, off the air and so forth. And in two books that I recently got, for those of you that are listening, I recently read a book called Project Soulcatcher by a scientist named Robert Duncan, and I'm working on another book called Controlling the Human Mind by Dr. Nick Edgick. And these books discuss some known higher technology methods of hacking the human mind. Now, the thing is, Dr. Preston is an expert when it comes to counseling and really dealing with satanic ritual abuse, dealing with split personalities, alters, and so forth. And this, as I have understood it, has actually been something that you have personally run into in your counseling. But before we get into the higher technology, can you just walk us through some of the basics as far as split personalities, satanic ritual abuse, and how that works to split an individual, so we kind of know where this other technology is really picking up at?
Okay. Basically, when I used to be a chairman of the Governor's Task Force on Child Abuse, I was appointed by the governor. And when a child is abused before the age of 7, their brain cannot handle the trauma or the abuse. So as a result, they dissociate. Dissociation simply means separation from the conscious mind. So all dissociation is means that when trauma or abuse occurs in a child, the child cannot consciously handle it. So God made it for the child to survive extreme stress, that the memory of the abusive event goes into the subconscious mind, and a wall or barrier of amnesia surrounds the memory so they don't remember it, so that they can go on and deal with it. Now, when a person is abused approximately older than the age of 7, then they develop what is commonly called post-traumatic stress disorder, commonly referred to as PTSD. At least 10% of soldiers who have gone to fight in Iraq or Afghanistan have developed post-traumatic stress disorder. Very simply, post-traumatic stress disorder is when a soldier keeps remembering over and over again the horror of battle or war. A common example is a soldier comes home from warfare. He's standing in his front yard talking to a friend. A car goes by and the car backfires. Because he has post-traumatic stress disorder, he reacts in the present moment as if he is in a battle situation. So he hits the deck. So can you imagine this former soldier is talking to someone, and suddenly he hits the ground and looks around and becomes what's called hypervigilant. That means all of his senses are on edge as if he will be shot at any moment. So that is what post-traumatic stress disorder is. So many people who have a dissociative condition, and there's 5 of them, but people who have a dissociative condition who were abused as children, usually when they turn around 30 years old, they start developing the symptoms of dissociative identity disorder. It used to be called multiple personality disorder. I studied dissociative identity disorder at Harvard Medical School. So it is a recognized condition. It is in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders put out every year by the American Psychiatric Association. So it is a real psychological condition. It is a disorder. It is not a psychosis. So what happens is some people are, there are evil people in this world. And in this world, there are people that worship Satan, called Satanists. They worship Satan. Here in Florida, in the news, they just had a group of Satanists who came out very public, which they called a church. I don't remember the name of their satanic church, but they just had a name, and they were speaking out in favor of some law that was being proposed here in Florida. Well, Satanists worship Satan. Some Satanists, as a part of worship of Satan, involves animal sacrifice. And then others go past animal sacrifice to human sacrifice. So this has happened so often in the world that there's actually a condition under dissociative identity disorder called dissociative identity disorder caused by satanic ritual abuse. So it's called SRADID for short. So children, if they grew up in a satanic family, or some children that are kidnapped, there is tens of thousands of children that go missing every year in the United States. So what happens to them? Some of them are kidnapped, and they're ritually, what's called ritually abused in a satanic ceremony. Those who are not sacrificed to Satan, they are ritually abused, which means they have specific rituals they perform to cause trauma to the child. And in the trauma, another personality or altered personality, or alters for short, are created in their mind. So then what they do is, using mind control or programming techniques, they program those specific altered personalities to perform specific jobs for that satanic cult. So for people who don't believe this happens, in Los Angeles, the largest police department in America, there is a satanic ritual abuse task force that focuses just on satanic ritual crimes. And that's in Los Angeles.
Wow. Now, Doctor, this wasn't just used, these techniques, so to speak, aren't just exclusive to, I guess, Satanist groups. This has also been replicated in some government programs, as I understand it, like early MK Ultra and so forth. Would
yes,
you
that's
concur?
Exactly correct.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly correct. Under the Freedom of Information Act, different individuals and organizations received, when they ask about government, U.S. government-sponsored mind control experiments and programs, they received over 100,000 documented pages. Of, this is public information, over 100,000 pages where U.S. government agencies, mainly the CIA and the military, on their own people or civilians, they used mind control techniques and programs. The two main ones they used is called MK Ultra, or and also Monarch programming. So what happens today is a committee in Congress uncovered the fact that the U.S. government, mainly the military and the CIA, are performing these mind control experiments, and they ordered them to cease and desist. But what they did was they simply went underground and did not
literally
make it public. They literally went underground. So now, and this is documented, now within the U.S. government, there are U.S. government agencies that have advanced mind control programs and advanced technology that they use to either program individuals or have what is called targeted individuals.
Hmm.
So they actually use advanced mind control programming techniques, many of which are advanced monarch programming, and they also have advanced technology, and the technology can actually affect a person's mind, specific places of the mind, and they can also target a group of people to affect them mentally or even affect them physically. Now, people say, how can this be? I have in my possession a 97-page document, and here is the title of it. Defense Science Board Task Force on Directed Energy Weapons. It is from the office. This is from the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, Washington, D.C.
Wow.
It is from the Pentagon. It is, this document is signed by government officials from the Office of the Secretary of Defense. It is a memorandum that goes out to key directors in different aspects of the military. But this is a document that actually documents laser weapons that are, it says, are heavily focused on high-power solid-state and fiber lasers and significantly improved beam, BEAM, beam control. It can affect it can affect individuals. And listen to this. It says, it says the department needs, and this is signed by leaders from the Pentagon. Listen to this. It says one of the purposes of this document, it says the Department of Defense, needs a concerted education effort to replace the death ray myth of directed weapons with a comprehensive understanding of the abilities of this technology. Now, what this means is they have a death ray.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this is so powerful, it can affect a large number of people at the same time, or it can be focused to one person.
Wow.
Now, according to some recent documents I acquired, the CIA... most people don't know the CIA headquarters were moved from Virginia to Denver, Colorado. In Denver, Colorado, at the CIA headquarters there, they have advanced technology.
Okay.
Now, there's two parts of the human body that has an electrical charge. We know the heart has an electrical charge.
Yes.
And when a person has a heart attack, they have a machine with two paddles on it that they put on the heart, and they recharge with this electrical charge the heart. And many times they bring them back to life. So everybody
yes.
knows, nobody has to be convinced, even the young children know, that the heart has electrical charge, and electrical charge to the heart can bring it back up. But with directed energy weapons or technology, we'll just say directed energy technology,
mm-hmm.
if you directed it at a human's heart, they would die, and on the autopsy report, the certificate of death, it's going to read death by heart attack. Now, I want you to notice Andrew Breitbart. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Breitbart made a speech that he was going to expose some illegalities in the U.S. government. And the next week, he mysteriously died of a heart attack. Even in the news, many people said his death, especially with the timing, was very strange and unusual. So I think a directed energy weapon was directed specifically at him, and of course it says he had a heart attack. Now listen to this.
Okay.
This is unbelievable. They did an autopsy
sure
on Andrew Breitbart. They discovered, you know, as I said, he died of a heart attack. But listen to this. And this is irrefutable. There is no doubt about this. The coroner that did the autopsy on Andrew Breitbart was murdered. And on his autopsy, it says he died of, I believe it was either arsenic or strychnine. I think it was arsenic poisoning. They found in the coroner's body that someone, after he did the autopsy on Andrew Breitbart, that they murdered him through arsenic poisoning. You can search this in the
internet.
This was in the normal news. This was in the LA Times. When the coroner who did the autopsy on Andrew Breitbart, after he did the autopsy, within a few days, he was murdered by arsenic poisoning.
Wow.
Isn't that? In fact, the former FBI director of Los Angeles was a Christian, and he started speaking out on satanic ritual abuse and criminal activity of people in government who he said were a part of New World Order. I saw a video of him speaking at the last meeting that he gave, and he really exposed specific things in the government of corruption and Satanism in the government.
Okay.
The week before he died, he said he found arsenic sprinkled all over his desk in his house. It's a fine powder. He he found arsenic sprinkled in his car. He was not paranoid.
Oh, that's terrible.
And he exposed Satanism and satanic groups in the United States, in and outside of the U.S. government. And he made a video that said, when I die, I want the world to know that I was murdered by arsenic poisoning. And he did die.
Oh, my gosh.
Of arsenic poisoning. Now, do you think it's coincidence that this well-known FBI director who exposed this, and Andrew Breitbart's coroner, were both murdered by arsenic poisoning?
Wow. Well, let me just interject for a moment, Dr. Preston, because this is really good stuff. You know, I had you introduce, right, the idea of mind control and split personality, so that those that are listening kind of have a foundation for where some of this other technology now has come from. Because there's a lot of advanced tech out there, and what I've been realizing is that a lot of it has been designed to enhance the effects of what began with trauma-based splitting of personalities to inflict mind control upon an individual through multiple personalities. And this book that you told me about by Robert Duncan, and for those of you that are listening, it details a lot of technologies that he and his mind hacking group, people that have come out of these projects, CIA, Department of Defense, and so forth, a lot of the technologies that they have been able to document through the interviewing of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of projects. And I made actually some notes, a list, because I wanted to read through some of these. And then, you know, Doctor, I'm going to give you the opportunity to just comment on them individually, you know, as I go through them. But I kind of want to just go through some of the items that he I communicated in his book. I mean, this is public knowledge now. Obviously, he wrote the book.
Yeah.
Anyone can buy it on Amazon. But most people don't know what the book says. It's kind of difficult to get through. A lot of technical language. But here's some of the these technologies that they talk about. The cybernetic warfare, one, the use of computers and or the internet to conduct warfare. He talks about psychotronic warfare pertaining to remote mind control via advanced technologies. How? What they talk about is that everybody has unique brain signature, also known as a brain print. And what they do is it's a technique called precise timing of pulses. And Dr. Preston mentioned that the human heart has an electric current. It's basically one millionth of the, let me not go there. The heart has it, and so does the brain. The brain also has electric currents and signatures and even magnetic activity going on. And they say that unique human brain signatures are key to the locks that must be opened to target a single mind. The timing of pulses must exactly coincide with the end of a neuron's depolarization. The timing of the pulse train specific to each individual and their microcircuits allows the unnamed individual to target any specific individual for war purposes or covert use to instigate war and violence. The bitstream acts like an encrypted message that only a single unique human brain with the exact physical patterns can interpret, whose brain will amplify the signal. This is the basic concept behind synthetic telepathy capability, neural reprogramming or brainwashing, and the cloning army or psychic warfare unit. In order to hack a human brain, you need to correlate all the bit streams and map them into a cognitive functional model. But in other words, what they're saying there is that the human mind can actually be accessed almost like a cell phone can be accessed. That when you dial someone's phone number, you dial their cell phone, not all the cell phones in their area. And then you can talk to them. In the same way, there are technologies that use this functionality of the brain to literally dial in to a single individual to turn them into a weapon through neural reprogramming or anything else. I'll let you say whatever you want, Doctor.
Yeah, this is exactly correct. Now, remember I said there are two places in the body that have an electrical charge, the heart. And I explained that, and we know an application that people have died of a heart condition. In fact, lately, it even came out in the news that one man who is a leader in training people of high-powered weapons, he was mysteriously killed, and people even said in the news, and several senators said that he was assassinated by someone in the U.S. government. It's unbelievable what's happening now. And, of course, Obama has signed into law that people that are a threat to the U.S. government can be assassinated. So we know that he has already done this. American citizens have been assassinated. So I'm not surprised that individuals in the U.S. government, probably connected to the CIA or Department of Defense, have had them assassinated. But the brain also has an electrical charge. Now, let me make this as simple as possible. So we know the brain and the heart have electrical charge. So just like an electrical machine with two paddles can cause a charge to the heart to resuscitate it, if you overdo that charge, then you will die from this overcharge to the heart, and on the corner certificate it would say heart attack. But the brain is more of electrical charge than even the heart. God created the brain, so a neuron, a brain cell, is nothing but this. It is a thin membrane with chemicals inside. That's all a neuron is. And a neuron is a brain cell. So all of our memories and our brain function is from simply chemicals that receive an electrical charge. And it is connected by nerve cells. So God designed the human body, especially the brain, in a marvelous, wonderful, fantastic design so that it can function based on an electrical charge. And there's different sections of the brain. Each section of the brain has a different purpose. I'm sure you don't want to be me to bore you with the different functions of each aspect of the brain. But the point is, God designed the brain with different compartments, which has different functions, like body control, breathing, and certain ways that we reason. And
yes,
the brain designed into the right hemisphere of the brain and the left hemisphere of the brain. It is connected by what is called a corpus callosum with 100 million nerve fibers connecting the right and left hemisphere of the brain.
Wow.
The right hemisphere of the brain mainly focuses on emotions, and the left hemisphere of the brain focuses on facts and information. Women tend to predominantly use the right hemisphere of their brain, focusing on emotions, and men tend to use the left hemisphere of their brain, focuses on facts. So women focus on relationships, and they talk about their feelings. That's from the right hemisphere of the brain. In the left hemisphere of the brain, the men focus on facts. Baseball,
sure,
fact, football, basketball. They quote all these statistics. And the women say, that's boring. You know, who cares? So God designed it that way. Well,
yeah.
The brain, each hemisphere of the brain, is even designed more in detail to carry out specific functions. So
sure.
If someone had a directed energy technology like the U.S. Department of Defense, of what I just read,
mm-hmm.
then they could focus on one specific individual. Not only can they do that, but they can, adjusting the frequency of that technology, that high energy laser weapon, it can affect different parts of the brain, and it would affect the person differently. So in the book that you quoted, Project Soul Catcher, Volume 2, he goes into detail, and I have observed this in personally in people that have been controlled.
Wow.
They have Voice of God technology. For example, if this
yes.
energy weapon is used at a certain frequency to be sent through the airwaves, they can be programmed to actually have a script in which they think they hear the voice of God. Other programs that are sent through the air using this type of technology affecting a different part of the brain can turn the person into an assassin.
Now, let me get this straight, because this is the thing that I find so fascinating, Doctor, is that, you know, there's been like this increasing level of awareness that I've gone through, that, you know, one, demons can go in and impact a person's actions, activity. They can influence people, particularly Christians, but Christians just as well. Then I learned about multiple personalities where you can have a person's actions being influenced by a programmed alter that is really just a dissociated part of the core person, but not a demon. But now you're telling me, and we're talking about technology that can trigger the brain with nuts and bolts technology that can influence behavior?
Yes, and it is now extremely fine-tuned. And it used to be, I've counseled hundreds of people who had different degree of demonization, which simply means attacks by demons. I wrote the book Spiritual Warfare, Defeating the Forces of Darkness. It's 385 pages. It is really the doctrine of demons and how demons work. And I give case after case of personal experience of dealing with demons and how demons attack people. But now, the people I mainly counsel are those that are have mind control programming, but many of those do not have to be programmed in the old way that they're dragged to a satanic ritual and programmed in the satanic ritual. I now have a number of people that I counsel who are programmed from remote technology affecting different aspects of the brain. So Christianity today is not prepared to deal with this technology because they think everything is demons. Everything is not demons. Demons, dealing with someone who's demonized is probably one of the easiest things I can do now in counseling, but they now have. I mean, this is public knowledge now that they have the government, U.S. government, and other governments. By the way, other governments have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have a technology to use to control a person's brain. Now, there's two main ways that this was developed to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1950s, at the U.S. Embassy in the old Soviet Union, within 18 months, everyone in the U.S. Embassy developed cancer.
Oh, gosh.
Now, would you say that's a coincidence?
No, I wouldn't.
So,
just me.
Anybody, even children, that was in this embassy developed cancer. So they said something is not right. So they got an electromagnetic detector, and they discovered across the street from the U.S. Embassy, they had a high energy directed weapon aimed right at the U.S. Embassy, which caused cancer in everyone in the embassy. So the United States government said, instead of exposing this to the world, let's develop this technology for ourselves.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Use this against our enemies. So that is the start of the U.S. government using what is called high energy laser weapon systems. I didn't make up that phrase. That phrase comes from the Department of Defense documents.
Wow.
Now, the big question is, how did the Russians develop this technology? Well, let me answer this.
Uh-huh.
At the end of World War II, Nazi scientists in Germany saw
Doctor, hold your thought right there.
Okay.
It sounds like your phone lines get kind of raspy, kind of coming in and out. Why don't we go to a break? Call back in, and when we get back from break, pick up right where we're leaving off. Folks, you've been watching Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall, and my gosh, are we discovering some truth tonight. We'll be right back.
Write about it, how our leadership is wounding us. Can you tell us about this a little bit more?
Yes, I'd love to. I wrote the book because of the very thing that so many Christians are going through, in that there's an epidemic where people are trying to do their best to get to know Jesus,
yep.
to follow him, fulfill the call on their lives, to be obedient, and
yep.
so forth. The problem is, sometimes the biggest hurdles to getting where God is calling us and calling people is a very leadership that they are trying to submit to. How do you do this? How do you get over wounds by leadership? One, forgive them. So easy. Because you set yourself free from everything done to you. When you forgive, a person then no longer has power to torment you, regardless of what they do, because you've forgiven them. Jesus makes it very easy to understand. He says, if you don't forgive others on earth, my Father in heaven won't forgive you. He's trying to help us with that comment. And
wow.
the thing is that power to forgive, you're not drawing that from your ideology. You're drawing that, again, from heaven itself. Your spirit man is on the power of God to forgive. So you're not even forgiving in your own power. How easy is that? When you get in touch with that, then it becomes a lifestyle. You can't get wounded after a certain point. Everything that we need to get healing and liberation and move beyond everything that man has dealt us is found in Christ. We have to believe it and choose to implement it. We might have to fast. We might have to, you know, I talk about forgive, write letters, invite the grace of God into our lives, exercise the presence of God, literally practicing the presence of God. You know, a lot of people don't know that you can purposefully enter the presence of God. And when you worship, the Bible says we're going to inhabit the praises of the people. What are you doing? In essence, when you truly worship God in spirit and truth, you're opening up a portal, a gateway to the very nature where God is. And He will overshadow the whole environment which you're sitting in. When you go there, God's identity is Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. If you encounter God, you encounter healing.
And we are back on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. What you were just listening to, by the way, is a commercial for my book, Wounded by Leadership. If you haven't picked it up, you should. But I do say that as a biased author. We've been talking with Dr. Preston Bailey, man. We've been talking about so much stuff. He should be back with us right now. You know, before we start, continue with what he was about to tell us, talking about the Soviets and so forth. You know, all I would like to keep coming back to is this. Jesus is still Lord, and His power is still greater, no matter how crazy this world seems to be and how impressive these technologies seem to get. There's no technology that can outpower the blood of Jesus. And, you know, we just need to rest in that fact as we continue to learn things and receive the truth that's going to allow us to overcome in these last days. But, you know, always keep everything in perspective, listeners. Everything in perspective. Jesus is still greater. And if the Jesus that you've been worshiping is not greater than what we're talking about, you need a new encounter with Him to remind you, let Him remind you about just how powerful, great, and glorious He really is. But Dr. Preston, I'm just going to let you jump right back into what you were about to tell us, talking about Russians. Hello? I think our caller has dropped. We're going to give him a chance to call back in. While we're waiting for him to call back in, I'm going to just go through a couple of these other technologies that I have gleaned from this book. Just to wrap your mind around, there's a technology out there called the denial of service. It's a denial of service attack. It uses electromagnetic and microwave harassment, if you can believe that. And it becomes then a no-touch torture microwave system, which can be used to make the target feel like they're on fire. When properly appropriated, this technology, you know, apparently really exists. They can use it on a target to keep them alive indefinitely while they feel like they are burning. The active denial of service system uses a pulsed 95 gigahertz microwave frequency to make the skin feel like it's on fire. And it can also be used in another sense to amplify a target's brain signal back onto the same host and create infinite looping in a person's thought processes. This is just ridiculous. But anyway, our guest is back with us, Dr. Preston. If you heard what I was just saying about the denial of service attacks making a person feel like they're on fire, you know, you can comment on that. Otherwise, go ahead and tell us what you were going to tell us about the Russians. Doctor, I think your phone may be on mute. We're kind of waiting to see what happened here. Ah.
Yes.
Doctor, there you are. Okay. Very good. Yeah, something is, someone's not liking what you're saying, but praise God.
So can you hear me now?
We can hear you now, Doctor.
Yes. That's why I always like to have a backup program here, because the enemy is doing everything he can stop this. So
yes, but you were beginning to tell us about the Russians. You were going to give us some information there about something that they have developed.
Yes. So what happened at the end of World War II? The Nazis knew that Germany would lose the war, so they planned on what was best for them. So they actually tried to surrender the top Nazi scientists, one of which was Wernher von Braun. He was the top Nazi scientist, a rocket scientist. He tried three times to surrender to U.S. forces, but the U.S. forces were incompetent, not realizing who he was. Finally, on the third go-around, he saw a guy in the military, and him and his team surrendered to this lieutenant. Now, he had called and numerous times had tried to surrender, and they, in the bureaucracy, just never did anything. Finally, to make a long story short, he was held as a prisoner. And finally, in what is called Operation Paperclip, which was a U.S. Government program, him and as many as 3,000 Nazi scientists and technicians were moved to the United States. Within a short period of time, he helped build rockets, and the Nazi scientists did other things. And some of the other Nazi scientists were sent by our ally, Russia, and the other Nazi scientists were sent to Russia. So these Nazi scientists developed this radiation high energy weapon that was focused at the U.S. Embassy. So you see how it happened.
Wow.
And then, within a short period of time, the decorated, loyal, devoted Nazi scientist, Dr. Wernher von Braun, became the director of NASA in Huntsville, Alabama. Now, can you imagine this? The CIA had said towards the end of the war, the most dangerous man in the world was Wernher von Braun. And within about 2 years, he was made the director of NASA in the United States. Now, isn't that nuts?
Mm-hmm.
So then these Nazi scientists helped the United States put a man on the moon. And as time progressed, their buddies, they slowly brought them from Germany to the United States, and others, their relatives, and others that were sympathizers with Nazi philosophy infiltrated the U.S. government and the U.S. military. And now these modern-day products of these Nazi scientists are now the ones that develop these advanced weapon systems and technology.
Wow.
And the U.S. government even has a department called DARPA. DARPA is just an acrostic for Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Mm-hmm. It is a branch of the U.S. military, and they develop technology that is in a military person's nightmare or dream, depending if you're behind the weapon or being attacked by the weapon. So I encourage your listeners to just do a search on the internet called DARPA weapons or DARPA technology. DARPA is an acrostic. Mm-hmm. Acrostic means each letter of the word represents a word. So DARPA, just do a search on DARPA weapons or DARPA technology, and it is unbelievable what they have developed. Their technology weapons can pretty much destroy the enemy. It's been reported by some in the U.S. military that one of these high-energy laser weapon systems that can attack the mind, when the United States invaded Iraq, that mm-hmm. they pointed this weapon towards the soldiers advancing towards the American soldiers, and noticed they surrendered en masse.
Oh, wow. Which might even speak to the whole the voice of God thing that you were referencing earlier, that functionality. You know, in light of all of this that we're talking about, you know, just the social engineering potential, I think, is ridiculous with this kind of technology. And, you know, one of the things that he brings up in this book that, you know, really you suggested to me on page 51 is the usefulness of creating what are called psycho bumps. And this is what it says. It's on page 51. I made a note here because I want to hear your response to this. Psychobomb can be turned into Manchurians or programmed assassins. Obviously, Manchurians are mind control victims. They have many uses that are instrumental in social engineering and manipulation of government laws and media. So, for example, and of course he's writing this book a couple years ago, if a social engineer wanted to make guns illegal, they could trigger many psychobombs at once using guns as their weapon. Public would react to the fear-driven media stories to pass laws against guns. Psychobombs are also useful in other fear-driven tactics to have the public give up their rights to privacy. Often they are used to distract the media's focus on more pertinent and important issues.
Yes, this now remember, he wrote this book in 2010.
Yes.
Over 2 years ago, I've tried to do research on these people who have been what I think were people that had psychobomb technology or programming used against them with these with these directed energy weapons, is what the technical term is, or psychotronic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can see James Holmes, who did all the mass killing in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
He passed three movie theaters, and he went to a theater that had a sign that said, no guns allowed. He had a research. He was working on his doctor's degree.
Huh.
And he got a research grant from the National Institute of Health. And isn't that interesting?
Yes.
A government agency gave him $26,000. And with that $26,000, he bought all of these weapons, which he used in this mass murder. also think that in Sandy Hook shooting, I think that they used I think they used one of these directed energy weapons that affected his brain.
Wow.
It works more effectively against people that have that are not strong mentally. It works more effectively and faster. But I think what we've seen is a result of psychobombs. Again, psychobombs is this energy technology that's focused on a specific person's brain. This, according to some information I received recently, the CIA headquarters in Denver, Colorado, have gathered 100 million brain signatures of American citizens.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier about the brain signatures. A brain signature, very simply, means the vibration frequency or resonance of the brain, because it has an electrical charge, gives off a unique signature or electrical signature of the brain that can be measured. So the CIA has at least 100 million. That's a third of the population.
Oh,
they can target any one of those 100 million individuals by adjusting the vibration frequency of these directed energy weapons at any individual, just like calling a cell phone. There's no difference. And even what they can do is there's even very powerful energy weapons that can affect the mind. Many people are familiar with HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, which owned by the United States Navy and the United States Air Force. If you go to the U.S. Patent Office, to create the HAARP machine is at least 10 different patents. When you sign up for a patent, you have to put down what it's specifically designed to do. So the HAARP machine is a composite of at least 10 different patents. Some of the patents, and this is just listed, it says, one of them says, is designed to control the weather. China, during the Olympics in China, claimed to have a weather weapon that did affect the energy, that did affect the weather just before the Olympics and during the Olympics. So this is one of a number of patents that claim to control the weather. Another one, it says, patent for the HAARP machine, says it can cause earthquakes. It can go below the ground and find fissures or cracks and cause a vibration that is so great that it causes earthquakes. It can also be connected to submarines and connect to submarines deep below the ocean. And so there's just a number of different weapons. Many scientists around the world condemned the HAARP machine that's located in Alaska because it is called an ionosphere heater.
Yeah.
That means all of the antennas are aimed up in the air towards the ionosphere, because Earth is round, it hits the edge of the ionosphere and heats up the air, and then it comes down any specific part of the earth, like from an angle.
Mm-hmm.
So it can hit any individual or any specific location. If birds are flying through the air, when this HARP weapon is headed down, a huge flock of birds would be killed. And
really?
They said they had a heart attack. So many necropsy of birds said that they died from their blood boiling or heart attack, which would explain the HARP machine. They now have an advanced HARP machine called a Tesla Tech that is so advanced that some people say that it actually controlled the hurricane that hit New England just before the election. In fact, one weather expert said they showed on satellite that the hurricane was headed northeast, and suddenly it made a 90-degree left-hand turn and hit the coast of New Jersey and New York.
What?
You could see it on radar. I watched it.
Oh, my gosh.
And so many of the weather experts say it is almost impossible for a hurricane to make a sharp left-hand 90-degree turn. And that's what the hurricane did just before the election. So some weather experts say that the hurricane that hit New England before the election was controlled by the HARP machine and by the new Tesla Tech weather machine.
You know, and this just takes me back, right, to a passage in the Gospels where Jesus is waking up by his disciples, and they say, you know, well, the storm's going to destroy us. And Jesus gets up, walks up calmly, and rebukes the storm, and the storm stops. And it's, you know, in my mind, and this is just how my mind works, how necessary the power of God to that extent is going to be as we see more and more of this affecting things in favor of diabolical agendas, you know?
Well,
if God's done it before, go ahead.
The Bible says in the last days, there'll be signs and wonders in the skies, and I think this is one of them.
Sure.
Now, think about this. If they had this type of laser technology, some call it a death ray, and it was attached to a satellite, they could wipe out any airplane in the sky that they wanted to.
Oh my.
And destroy anything on Earth that they want. Now, people say that is outlandish. They need to do a little research of scientific history of laser weapons. They actually have right now, and I talked with the vice president of the company that designed and made it, there's actually a laser weapon right now that fits on the bottom of a U.S. Air Force plane, and it is a directed laser weapon that can, using just laser technology, can wipe any airplane out of the sky from miles away. They don't need missiles or bombs anymore. So this is right now. And by the way, Nikola Tesla, the early 1930s and 40s, Sid, he designed a death ray that can kill, that can destroy over 100 planes out of the sky at the same time. And when he died, federal agents entered his apartment, and Sid, in the name of national security, they confiscated all of his property.
Yes. I've read that before. I know it's true. I know that's true.
So, people think it seems outlandish that a laser weapon can affect a person mentally, but I think that's a tame technology, because they have far more advanced technology than just affecting people mentally. What's interesting is Judge Judy, everybody knows her, she said that they have used this technology against her, and actually over 1,000 public individuals have said publicly that they have used this technology against them.
Now, we only have 3 minutes left, Doctor, but real quick, if possible, I know you've told me some different things, as arbitrarily as possible. In your counseling, have you ever encountered a situation where it would appear that this was the source of the person's problem that you're ministering to?
Yes, I have a number of people I counsel right now, and it's not demons. I know demons very well. I wrote a book on it, but... Yes, and they're using that more and more for programming people.
Wow.
And you can't cast out technology. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So Christians need to adjust their thinking, and they need to pray that this technology will not be used to harm American citizens, and that it would be in the right hands of people, because a gun can be used to save your life,
sure,
or it can be used to kill you.
Sure.
So the problem is not the gun. Mm. The problem is the person who uses it. The problem is not technology. The problem is the heart of the person who uses it for good or evil.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, and Doctor, thank you for that. Thank you for all that great information, conversation. With about a minute left here, is there anything else you'd like to close with saying?
I would like to just say that many Christians are not even aware of any of this, but
sure,
but this is just something that I see almost every day of the year, that people are affected by this type of technology. In closing, I'd like to say Dr. Robert Duncan was asked, there was some type of experience in his life about 2 or 3 years ago that he decided to quit the CIA, and he developed a lot of this technology.
Mm-hmm.
He said that there's people in the U.S. government that are hidden and can never be found, and they'll never want to go back to the old way of doing things. They want to use this technology for evil. So we need to pray that Robert Duncan and others would be protected as they expose these things. And we need to pray for the victims of this, that God would intervene and pray a scientific prayer trying to stop this, the effects of this technology from people.
Wow. Well, everyone, you've been listening to Daniel Duvall, and my guest tonight has been Dr. Preston Bailey, www.spiritualwarfarecenter.com. That's where you can find him online. His website, my website, www.bridemovement.com. You've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Everybody, have a God-blessed night. And remember, Jesus is still Lord. God bless you.